This article by Bishop Kalistos Ware discusses both the ancient tradition of moving into the hermit life as seen from primarily the perspective of the Christian East, as well as the contemporary experience of hermits, particularly on Mount Athos in Greece and on the island of Patmos, another important monastic center in Greece. Bishop Kalistos, by the way, is himself a monk of Patmos, although he has been teaching at Oxford for many years and has only just retired from his position as a university lecturer and professor. Looking at the article, it's divided into 8 sections. The initial section describes what he calls the 3 ways, the 3 possible modes or manners of becoming a hermit in the Christian East. Then he discusses the 4th century Egyptian model, which includes all of these possibilities, these 3 ways. He then goes on to discuss figures whom we have already looked at in some detail, Saints Basil, Cassian, and Benedict, and considers the extent to which these models can be found in their writings and in the traditions they inspire. Then he describes Palestinian monasticism, particularly the monastery of Barsanuphius and John, as an example of the development of this tradition. He also then goes on in section 5 to discuss the canonical legislation, that is to say the formal rules in church law that apply in the Eastern Church. Then in sections that are particularly important, and I hope in your own reading you can look closely at sections 6 and 7 as well as in section 1, that is to say in section 6, his discussion of Athos and Patmos, the real experience as it is lived today in these Eastern monasteries, and then fascinatingly, his description of various possible daily programs, that is to say, the kind of schedule that is actually lived out by someone who is living the solitary life in the Eastern Church today. And finally, in section 8, he draws some conclusions. So, in your own reading of this article, I'd particularly recommend looking at his description, his delineation of the 3 ways, his application of that to the contemporary situation in Athos and Patmos in section 6, and his fascinating description in section 7 of the daily program. So if we look down at the article, just skimming it over very briefly, I will highlight several points in each of the section, again, presuming that you're going to have the opportunity to go back and read this article at your leisure and in more detail. Noting in that section 1, he describes these 3 ways, these 3 patterns or modes of becoming a hermit. He describes the fact that one can find the option of what he calls the traditional mode of moving from the cenobium, from the monastery, into a semi-eremitical life, a skete or a kelia, and then from this semi-eremitical life, where there are actually small communities of quasi-hermits, one can move out into more extreme form of solitude, which is indeed practiced by a very large number of monks on the Isle of the peninsula of Mount Athos today. But these 3 ways also represent 3 different modes. One can go into the hermit life from the cenobium, or one can enter the skete directly, that is to say, without joining the cenobium, to enter more directly as a kind of semi-hermit, and then go out from there. And he'll describe the various ways in which this can happen, the various circumstances that accompany it as well during the course of this article. I've included a picture to situate us geographically, both of Greece showing Mount Athos, which is actually a peninsula. The mountain, or holy mountain, is actually at the extreme end of the peninsula. You can see on the picture of the peninsula, it's at the far right end, and it represents the most difficult to reach part of the peninsula, which is where a very large number of the hermits are to be found. I've also included in the map the location of of the island of Patmos, which Bishop Kalistos describes in his article, and of which he is also a member. And that's the reason he knows it so well. Again, dropping down to the next set of pictures, I've included a couple of examples of contemporary monasteries on Mount Athos or the Athenite Peninsula, the Skete of Elijah. This would be a collection of semi-eremitical subcommunities. As you can see, it's a very large establishment and has been around for quite a long time. But next to it is a picture of some very small hermitages perched rather precariously, it would seem, on the cliff face. And this too is common in Athos. Some of the hermits are visited only very rarely, and some of them only leave very rarely and have their own cisterns to obtain water from rain. Dropping down to section 2, Bishop Kalistos describes the patterns that he has already mentioned in their earlier forms in 4th century Egypt, which we've already discussed to some extent. And again, I'd invite you to look at this section on your own. I've included some illustrations both from the later Western kind of fantasy or tradition of what the life of the hermit was like, from a very large painting in the Uffizi Museum in Florence, as well as some church wall paintings from the monastery of St. Anthony in Egypt, in this case of two of the Desert Fathers, Arsenius and Sisoes. Again, I'll leave you to leave and study this section on your own. If we drop down to section 3 concerning Saints Basil, Cassian, and Benedict, he here reminds us of the fact that Basil was primarily oriented toward the cenobitic life, but he emphasizes, or I would say moderates, the notion that Basil is absolutely opposed to the hermit life. He points out that that's not absolutely correct. Certainly Basil believed that it was in the cenobium that one has the opportunity for service of the brethren, but Basil permitted and is not completely in opposition to the possibility of going out in solitude. Then there are a couple of illustrations of the life as it's lived more in the Christian West. The tradition we find in Saint Benedict, the notion of the cenobium as the place in which the hermit is formed, that is to say, one is formed in community and then can only later and by way of exception evolve out into the hermit. And as we saw in Sister Benedicta's discussion, there were in fact hermits in the Middle Ages, and there's a very stylized depiction of Bishop Anzuwald visiting a hermit in one of the pictures in the text here. If you then drop down to section 4, Bishop Kalistos describes what he calls the Palestinian pattern, and in this case it's a particular description of the monasteries of both Judea and the area really between Palestine and Egypt in the Sinai. And one finds in these circumstances very much like what he described as existing in the contemporary pattern. A cenobium in which a person can be formed, but also a semi-eremetical lavra or skete, and then individual hermits, some of whom acquired a very great reputation as spiritual directors and people who would offer advice both to individuals and to leaders of communities. In section 5, he describes the canonical legislation, the canon law that pertains within the Orthodox Church, and he describes it in some detail, but you'll notice that he goes on to say later in the article that despite the existence of these laws, they are, as he puts it, largely disregarded in a contemporary Athenite monastic life. And again, in section 6, a portion that of the article that I hope you'll pay particular attention to, a description of the hermit life as it exists today in the communities of the Athenite Peninsula and on the island of Patmos. He describes the wide variety of possibilities, the very significant number of individuals, particularly associated with the great lavra, who are living in either in skeets, in semi-eremetical contexts, or out in individual hermitages. And he mentions that there are, in fact, individuals who are living a very primitive form of monastic life. He then goes on to describe the island of Patmos, that it has a hermit tradition, although at present the hermitages are not very much used. And there's a picture both of the island of Patmos and of the monastery of St. John, which has in past centuries also served as a fortress protecting the monastic community against outside attack. Then, particularly interesting and something that I hope you'll spend time looking at in section 7, the daily program of a hermit. How a hermit in the Eastern Church today actually spends his or her life. How the day is divided up into the practice of the Jesus Prayer, reciting in the hesychastic tradition, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, constantly in repetition within the heart. Another portion of the day particularly given over to psalmody, to the recitation of the Psalter and the praying of the Liturgy of the Hours, and then other kinds of things that are done during the night, and the way that these activities are divided up with manual labor. Particularly important also is to note that there are exceptions permitted for those who are illiterate or who have not memorized the Psalter. It is permissible to replace or substitute a certain number of recitations of the Jesus Prayer for hours of the Divine Office of the Liturgy of the Hours in the Eastern tradition. This would be exceptional, of course, in the West. And, of course, the reading of sacred scripture, the practice of Lectio Divina, plays a role here as well. Again, I'd invite you to look rather closely at this, because he's describing not primarily an historical assessment, but the actual contemporary practice of the hermit life as it's to be found particularly on Athos. So, in conclusion, I'll let you look at his conclusions. He has some thoughts about what direction this may take, both in the East and in the West. But it's important for us to be aware that the hermit life in a relationship, albeit a somewhat loose relationship, particularly in the Eastern Church, as is lived on Mount Athos, the hermit life does exist, is widely practiced, is regarded as a significant option, both in the semi-eremitical, small community tradition, and in an extreme form of isolation in which hermits may be spiritual directors but may have very little, if any, contact either with the monastic community or with others, with the exception, of course, of someone who might occasionally bring them communion or on the rare occasions when they would go back to the monastery. Notice that this is very different from what we saw in the West, where the predominant form of hermit life is lived in the form of monastic orders, in which there is a close interrelationship between cenobium and those who live in solitude, and indeed particularly in the form of the Carthusians, a very cenobitic kind of context and a regular prayer together with the community, but life in individual cells. So this reminds us of the fact that in the Eastern Church, a much more typical of the early tradition form of the hermit life is still very widely practiced and recommended today.